Hi, I'm Dr. Josh Hant, and welcome to Lifestyle Locker Radio, where we help you create an awesome life and lifestyle. From nutrition to fitness, mindfulness to peak performance, and relationships to money mindset, we bring you on an amazing journey to help you unleash your human potential. Hey, it's Dr. Josh Hant here, and we need to talk about your health, your fitness, and your lifestyle. I know you, if you're like me, you've seen sickness and disease and even death in your life. And we know the leading causes of death in the United States are cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. Many of these conditions and diseases are considered lifestyle-based. And I know that lifestyles in the United States and other countries are not where they should be. We also know that they make you more vulnerable to other sicknesses and conditions. We tend to get our advice and recommendations on health from commercials and marketing, from fast food to pharmaceuticals, and not from experts with real world experience. Unfortunately, we follow people or products who don't walk the walk or talk the talk. They simply just don't care about your health. It's just about their bottom line. I know we've heard it from our friends and from even our own self-talk that we don't have enough time, we can't make the changes, or there's just too much to do to be healthy. But there is a way to actually take control of your lifestyle and have the accountability and the support you need. We can be bigger than our excuses. For the past 14 years as a chiropractor, I've worked and continue to work with thousands of patients with their lifestyle and ultimately their health. I am now bringing the same philosophy to the online space where we can work as a group to get better, stronger, healthier, and be bigger than our excuses every single day. I've created the 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program to be an online-based, training-based program where you get to learn and be engaged with others in your journey towards a healthy lifestyle and ultimately a healthier life. To be part of this amazing movement, it's just $5 a month. Yes, it's only $5 a month, and that seems too good to be true. Well, it's not. So for the price of a gourmet coffee, you will have access to an amazing program and amazing people that want the best for you too. So when you dive into the content below this video to learn about our lifestyle philosophy, you'll see that we are incredibly unique. No other online program focuses on lifestyle the way we do and delivers the quality and the quantity of content that we do for just $5 a month. And it's not just about the movement. There's a lot more. It's really about your health. So check out the details and other videos below. And when you sign up, I'll even send you the ebook, Inside the Locker, which dives deeper into creating an awesome lifestyle. I look forward to seeing you on the inside of the Lifestyle Locker 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program. And now for an uninterrupted episode about the Grand Canyon R2 and R3. Hey everyone, Dr. Josh Hant here. This is Lifestyle Locker Radio, episode 259. Today we're going to talk about the Grand Canyon, the R3, the R2, all of these things, not the R2-D2, but the R2 and the R3. So I'm going to bring you on this little journey. And first and foremost, I want to thank the amazing crew of guys that was out there participating in this event that I, you know, was indoctrinated to their tribe, if you will. I know one gentleman named Ryan and the other three guys. So Brian, Steve, and Justin, listen, pleasure to meet you guys. I had an amazing time. You were all awesome in what you did, how you did it. And we're going to go over all of those details. So for everyone that was there, I had an amazing time, met some friends now that I probably will have for a lifetime. Because you know what happens when you get to be with people and actually suffer, be a little uncomfortable with people for long periods of time where you actually get to feel their actual soul, not just experience them in a conversation at a party for a couple seconds and go, hey, I kind of like that person. That's pretty cool. We spent some serious time together and we got to really know each other pretty well. Maybe not, obviously, you know, this is a handful of hours that we were with each other, or more than a handful, but not a lifetime. But, you know, we condense time. When you suffer, you get to have these experiences with each other and learn so much about each other and yourselves. So we set out there to go do what they call the R3, which is rim to rim to rim. And just to be very upfront here in the beginning of this show, I only completed the R2, which is the crossing. And I'll go over those details in a minute with you. So this was an amazing event. You know, I get into Arizona, I land on a Thursday evening, or Thursday morning, excuse me. And first thing I do, get my rental car, head straight to a friend, Scott, who's a chiropractor in Arizona, straight to his office so I can get my adjustment, get my alignment done after traveling. You know, I woke up at 3 a.m. New York time, and I not like a regular headache person, but I had a headache. And I think it was just a lack of sleep, the stress of getting everything together before I left. And had this headache I woke up with. I'm like, oh, crap, here we go. So get to Scott's office to get an adjustment. I feel freaking amazing. It's about 30 minutes from the airport, I believe, is over 40 minutes, wherever I was. And then I head out to the Grand Canyon. So another about 3 hours of driving to the Grand Canyon. Got to go through some beautiful areas, Flagstaff. It was 107 or 108 when I was in Phoenix, to give you an idea, leaving Scott's office. And I get to Flagstaff, which is most of the way there. I don't think we had too much more to go, or I had too much more to go. The temperature dropped from 107 to 63 degrees in a snap of a finger. We're going up in elevation, going towards these beautiful mountains and flat by around Flagstaff. And it was like a monsoon. I'm like, I'm in the freaking desert and it's pouring. Did that for about 15, 20 minutes, stopped. Temperature creeped up a little bit. You know, we hit into the 80s. I'm like, okay, this is odd. Then as you go through, you go down and lower in elevation, the temperature gets warmer and I'm driving, get to the Grand Canyon, check in. Now, obviously, I had to go take a photo right up front, right by the entrance there. So get my photo, check into the hotel right at the, you know, I shouldn't say at the top of the Bright Angel Trail, but literally, you know, 3-minute walk to the Bright Angel Trail and have a headache. But I just went for a walk to see if I could do it. Got in my bed and just zonked out. Like I tried to sleep off this headache. Already got adjusted, drank some water, maybe not enough water. I don't even know what was going on at this point. So the guys, Ryan, Steve, Brian, and Justin all roll in about 2 a.m. And, you know, I'm like sleeping since like 7 p.m. You know, I get a burrito before, I didn't mention that, but I get some food before, a veggie burrito, get to bed at like 7:30, 8 o'clock their time, wake up at 2. Like I was intermittently up and down and I woke up feeling a lot better, but my sleep was really, really crappy. So another average, I think the Oura Ring said, I think like 3+ hours of sleep, not much total. Like I was up and down, up and down, up and down, you know, so I didn't really have all this great deep sleep, restorative sleep, or any of these things. And my Oura Ring was kind of yelling at me. So go through a day, I feel good. I feel better. No headache. I'm energetic. I'm pumped because, you know, in less than 24 hours, we are going to be heading on our journey. So we scout out the trailheads, we do go get food, we get some extra water bottles, we do all of the preparatory stuff, you know, unload our bags and prep our packs, right? Like this is what we need, this is what we're going to be doing, you know, and organizing everything. My pack was insanely heavy for me. This is a first for an adventure like this, run/hike, to bring this much weight with me. You know, we are heading into the backcountry. Thank God Ryan had something called the Garmin inReach, which was really, really cool. It's a way, it's a satellite communicator through Garmin. So you can actually text, you know, God forbid an emergency, but we were going to use it also to let the team on the other side of the canyon on the north side know, like, hey, listen, we're on our way. We're going to be close, which was really neat, right? So our packs, you know, I pack it up. I'm like, okay, I got 2 liters in my bladder. I got another 40 ounces of water bottles with filled with electrolytes on either side of the pack. I have 2 handheld 18-ounce bottles. I have food. I got all these awesome, for those of you who are watching, you know, these amazing possible bars from Standard Process. I got my supplements. I got all this stuff with me, you know, extra shirt for long sleeve. God forbid it hits like that 100-plus degree temperature at the bottom of the canyon on either direction we're supposed to be going in. All, everything, right? Emergency stuff. I have like a towel, a cooling towel. And yeah, so lots of gear. You know, probably, like I said, probably about 20-plus pounds, maybe even a little more. I'm not even sure. I didn't weigh it, but it was heavy for me. It's all on the back. I'm used to traveling or running or and adventuring with a race vest, which is 2 liters of water in the back, weight on the front. So I have two bladders, like a chest pockets, if you will, that hold another 500 ml, so half liter on either side, and then have pockets all over the front, easy access to food, easy access to everything. So I don't really have that with the backpack. So we also get the gear ready for the other side of the canyon. So the car that's going to be meeting us on the other side with Brian in it, he'll have all the gear, extra water, all the stuff that we're going to need to refuel for the crossing back over. So as we start this adventure, we start at 2 a.m. We start at, just picture this, it's pitch dark, pitch black here. So for those of you that live in a suburban area, like I live in a suburban area, well, you live in an urban area, it doesn't get truly dark at night. So we are at the South Kaibab Trailhead, about a 10-minute drive or so from our room. And I can tell you this, it was dark. It was really cool. Get my headlamp. I got a new headlamp company, Silva, as I believe it's called, the Ultra Runner Pro or something like that. 350 lumens. And what was great about this headlamp, just a little plug for them, not sponsored by them, but a little plug for them, that it has a flood that aims down and a spot that aims forward. And it's 350 lumens. It'll last 24 hours on their lithium ion battery, which is awesome when it comes to trail running, because you always need to look down to make sure your footing is good. And you always need to look ahead to make sure you're staying on trail. This solves both problems. So we get set up, we get a cool photo at the beginning of this thing, and then we just get going. It's me, Ryan, and Steve all trekking down. And you know what? This is where like the fun begins. This is, you know, 2:45-ish a.m. We're on the trailhead. We're going. And I'm all jacked up. My sleep sucked that night also, because I couldn't go. It's hard to go to sleep at 7 o'clock. You know, and wake up at 2 a.m. And yeah, so my sleep was like intermittent. They said I was snoring. I don't even remember. Like I was up and down the whole time. Aura Ring again said, hey, your sleep sucked again. Understood. So I'm going on like 2 to 3 bad nights of sleep. And I didn't care at this point. I was jacked up. I was pumped. I was excited to actually get this thing started, get it accomplished. Yeah, it was really, really neat. So we're on the trailhead. It is so dark. It's awesome. The headlamp's there. The thing is, you know, Steve, these guys are awesome, right? So Steve's afraid of heights. You know, looking over the canyon the day before, I'm like, dude, this guy's going to do this thing with us. And he can't even deal with heights. But nonetheless, man, he actually trucked. He did really, really well. But those first couple miles in, he's like, I don't know if I could do this. I'm like, Steve, I'm going to throw a rock at you if you don't stop complaining. Was just getting me all nervous, right? Like, and like change, hurting my mojo. And Ryan's like, don't worry. This is just Steve. He goes ebbs and flows. And we had a great time. So we're going down, downhill. We all had our headlamps. Those guys had to, you know, even put their headlamps in their hands at times just so they can see the ground and up. And the really neat thing about going down this trail, the South Kaibab Trail, is I know Steve probably didn't see this, but he didn't want to look down. But when you start to look out, it's dark. But when you see other hikers, other runners in the distance, you see these little headlamps just moving at different heights in the canyon. It's kind of eerie and cool and funky at the same time. But it was windy. It was a little freaky. Really neat. So we get going down. And we go down, down, down. We go about, I think it's like 5,000 feet or just over 5,000 feet from the top down to the canyon floor, cross the Colorado River on this really cool bridge that I've seen pictures of, and we got to see it in the dark. So like shining my headlamp on it really didn't do it justice. Go through this really neat cave. and we get going for a ways, and we work our way up to Phantom Ranch. You know, at this point, we're hydrating, we're drinking our electrolytes, we're drinking our water. I think I'm doing pretty good. So we're, I don't know, what are you, like 5, 6, 7, 8 miles in, something like that, as by the time we get to Phantom Ranch. And probably close to 8 miles, seven and change. So the funny thing is, as we're on this flat along the river and we start to see some of the lights of Phantom Ranch in the distance, the whole run down, I'm complaining because, like, Ryan's like, you have a moon on your head. Like, this thing is so bright, this headlamp, that moths were flying to my face, in my mouth. I was spitting them out. I was cursing them out the whole time going downhill because they were just attacking me. Not anybody else, just me. And I guess that's what I get for you know, being the guy in front going downhill, as you know, in a pack of three. So I was getting all of these freaking moths. We're on the flat now. We're on our way there. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, freaking moth. And I look up and I'm like, holy crap. They're freaking bats, almost hit me in the face. All this stuff. So I freak out, shut my headlamp off. I take us down a wrong trail a little bit. We make a U-turn and go, you know, another 20 feet the other direction to fix it. And I told Ryan, I'm like, dude, you're going in front, man. Like, I'm going to keep my headlamp off for a second. I want to eat moths. I don't want bats attacking me and flying into my head. He was laughing. Ryan, he was laughing. They're just laughing. Like, yeah, this is funny as hell. So we get going, and Ryan's headlamp is not as bright. And he gets startled because he, like, walks right up on top of, practically on top of a doe, a baby deer. And he's like, nope, you're front. Put your headlamp on. We need light. We need this, you know, we need to light this whole area up. I don't want to, like, step on top of an animal as we're going. So we get it through Phantom Ranch. We add water to our stop there. Steve takes some sand out of his shoes. Then we just get going. And we just start charging along the flats here. Some little subtle ups and downs as we go. We're crossing the canyon on the bottom now. The sunrise is coming up. Take some cool photos right around Phantom Ranch. And we just keep going. You know, I think I'm like one or two possible bars in at this point, and it's about 1,100 calories, and we start going, and Ryan's like, I want to, you know, let's, you know, I want to prep, because I know we have a really crazy climb out of the canyon. I want to make sure that I have, you know, some fuel in my system. I'm just going to prep a sweet potato when we get to the bottom of the incline. I said, no, dude, let's do it now. So we fueled up. We actually ate, cooked. He made them. I was lucky that I had this guy with me as well. I think we were all lucky we had each other with each other. It was perfect. But he had sweet potatoes. So I started chomping down a roasted sweet potato. It was roasted in coconut oil. Oh, so good. The only thing I would have done is I would have probably coated the darn thing in pink salt. But this was great. It was like Ziploc bags of cooked, peeled, whole sweet potatoes. So we chomp on this thing as we're going through. And it was a lot of fun. Like, we're going, the views are getting epic and amazing. And we keep going, like, holy crap, we got to go all the way up there. All the way up. You can't even see the top at this point. And I feel really, really good at this point. I feel great. You know, I'm like, wow, the downhill was super easy for me. The flat's super easy for me. My heart rate has been really, really mellow. It's been good. And we get up to mile 16. We start a little bit of uphill on the way up to the North Rim, about mile 16, I think it is. I feel great, absolutely great. Go to fill some water up. I just fill my handhelds up. I'm like, I got a lot of water in my bladder. I still have a decent amount of electrolytes in my water bottles that are on either side of my pack. I'm like, great. So just tap off the water bottles or tap off the handhelds. And we kept going. And as we're going up, I'm moving pretty fast. And you know, Ryan was in the lead, then I was in the lead, Steve was in the lead. We're going up, up, up. And I get like 1,000 feet up out of a 6,200 foot gain, going up to over 6,000 feet over sea level here. So, you know, air is getting thinner. It's warm. I think we hit like 95 plus degrees. I think they said 95 in the shade. So probably over 100 in the cloudy sun that we had. And we're going up, and about 1,000 feet in, a mile in, it was like something switched internally in my body. And it was really, really odd. I stopped. Ryan came up to me. He's like, you're right. I'm like, dude, I don't feel right. I just like got lightheaded. I felt like I was going to pass out. And I'm like, this is really odd. Because literally 3 seconds before this happened, or a second before this happened, I felt perfect. I felt really, really good. So I stop. I pause. I sit for a second. He kind of goes, "You're right." I'm like, I don't know. This is odd. This has never happened for me before. Like, I remember my first marathon feeling like bonking and not feeling like I had enough electrolytes or fuel or whatever it was. I'm like, something's not right. So he opens my food portion of my pack up, takes out one of our electrolyte gels. It's a company called Sys. It's not what most people use, which is goo. But nonetheless, it's a tall one. It's got some caffeine in it. It's got sugar. It's got electrolytes. It's got all this stuff in it. And I told him, I don't like to use them, but we take them for emergencies. And for me, this became an emergency. I'm like, okay, I got 5 miles of uphill left or whatever it was at this point, and I feel like crap. I'm like, okay. He's like, I'm going to go ahead. I'm like, dude, just go ahead. I'll be fine. Because in my head, I'm like, the only way out of this canyon is going through, is actually doing it and going up to the top. I didn't realize how much longer I actually had in my head. So like, go ahead, you'll be fine. I'll catch up to you guys, or I'll meet you guys at the top, whatever it ends up being. And the thing is, I'm the seasoned ultra marathoner. So to me, physically, it felt really odd that this was happening to me at mile 16. You know, just last year, I ran 100 miles in 23 hours and was able to drive 9 hours home the next day. So it was really odd, like mentally. And I'm like, shit, I'm the guy that's the ultra marathoner, really, really pissing me off, like mentally a little bit. And then I just had to like calm myself down. And I kept this little goo or Sys electrolyte gel near me. And I kept on like sipping little bits of it as I go. I get energy. I get going. I'm like, okay, I feel good. We had these zigs and zags all the way up to the top. As we're going, there were sections where I'm like, I can run. I feel great. You know, like I say, run, we're jogging uphill. I mean, we're going up a mile up in 5 miles from where I was. So I run, then I walk, and I run, and I walk. And eventually I get to the point where I'd have to go 10, 20 steps. I'd have to sit down. Like I start to get that lightheaded feeling, this, and my legs hurt like they'd never hurt before. I'm like, this is so weird. What the hell is going on? And what happens when you get to this headspace? This becomes problematic in many different ways. And I didn't recognize it until after the fact. And this is what these things. So this is for those of you that are going to do stuff like this. They're going to do these ultra events. Me, the convenience of my race vest was that I can just grab electrolytes. I can grab food. I can grab whatever I needed. I can grab whatever I needed without taking my pack off, right? So on the way up, like I was neglecting food. I was neglecting it. But I just like, oh, I just want to take my pack off. I just don't want to do this. This sucks. So I just keep drinking my electrolytes and keep zigging and zagging, meet some really nice people. Like, are you all right? Are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. The only way out is through. Like, I got to do this. Do you have water? Do you have food? I'm like, yeah, I got water. Yeah, I got food. And as I start to near the top, and granted, through most of the trek, the air is fresh. It's beautiful. It's stunning. Like you just like enjoy breathing. But on this uphill climb, the donkeys or the mules, excuse me, that are going up are shitting and pissing everywhere. And the smell is horrendous. There are like zillions of flies. And I felt like no matter which way we went, I mean, which way, like we're going up, but on the cat track that's going left and right and up and down, zigging and zagging on our way up, there's shit and piss everywhere. And the smell and the flies are everywhere. And I'm moving slow. So I'm like, oh, I got to make it through. So there was just like this bleh feeling going up. But I get to the point in my head, and this is literally right before I saw a couple guys. In my head, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get to the top and tell them I got to tap out. Like, I really wanted to go down. I really wanted to cross again and do the R3. And like, shit. You know, like, I'm going to have to tell them that I'm going to have to quit. I'm going to have to quit. I don't quit, but I'm going to have to quit. So I'm going up. I'm probably about 3/4 of a mile, maybe less, to the top. And I see these two guys coming down. I'm like, how much farther? And it happens to be Ryan, who's coming back to do the R3, and Justin, who's now with him for the ride back. Steve was probably close to the top at this point. Maybe not there yet, but close to the top. And I go, hey, guy. And they're like, hey, it's us. And I'm like, dudes, I'm not making it. I'm just going to tap out. And they're like, good. We were going to not let you go anyway. Good. That's a good team right there. And they're like, do you have water? Do you have food? I'm like, yeah, I just drank out of my bladder. It's empty. And this is not good. I'm in the desert. So the desert. And I just passed water about a mile and a half back or 2 miles back, that's not good. That's not good. That's not smart. That's where, when the brain fog shows up, whether it was elevation, whether it was the heat, whether it was a combination of food, whether it was electrolytes, this can happen. And it happened to me. Whatever it was, I don't know, but I'm planning to go back in April to fix this and go do the R3. But so I meet these guys and Ryan's like, "Do you have fluids?" I'm like, "No, I'm running out, dude. I got like a little bit left in my handheld and that's it." He's like, "Listen, take my electrolytes. I'll go, some of my electrolytes I'll go fill up down low." So he lets me fill up my handheld so I can make it to the top, you know, and have something in my system. So I said, "Thank you." He's like, "Listen, I'll just get water in a couple miles down low. It's not going to be a problem. I'll fuel up again." So like his headspace was perfect. You know, I commend him on that because he did a good job with it. However he was able to do it, you know, whether it was, you know, his training, you know, living in a drier climate and doing some elevation stuff. I don't have either of those things. So I had to train differently, but this guy rock and rolled. Ryan did a really, dude, you did an amazing job. Really, really good, dude. I'm proud of you. And I hope we do this together again in April and just crank it out. But so here we go. So they give me the fluids. I start to go up. I meet more people. I meet these two senior citizens. These ladies, these women are going up and they're like, "Oh, we had to turn around on their way." They came from the North Rim going down. They didn't even get to the bottom of the North Rim, but they're like, "All right, we know where our limit is." So they started going up and they, again, "Do you have food? Do you have water?" I'm like, "I'm fine. I got everything I need." Maybe smile a little bit more. And they were walking and sitting like I was, because I heard like 20, 30 steps, 10 steps, 100 steps, whatever it ended up being, I would sit down and we kept on catching each other. And then someone's like, "Oh, you got about 10 minutes up left." So I said, "Screw this. I'm just going." I started to see a sign in the distance. Now I was getting near the top. Like, I'm like, "Oh, I'm so close. I cannot stop now." And I have to like pause, put my hands on my thighs, breathe. I don't want to sit down again. And I just started going up. I see this older guy who's doing the same thing. I'm like, "Excuse me," going up. I see Brian up top with his camera, cheering me on. He's like, "You got this." And I get to the top and meet Steve and Brian. I'm like, "This is the best day ever. I made it to the top." I was just so excited for it to be over. I'm usually not excited for it to be over in this way, but I was so excited for it to be over. Get to the top. He offers me food and all this stuff. I'm like, I don't want to eat anything. And that's problematic, right? So you got to make sure you're fueling yourself more during this thing. And I know for April, hopefully this works out, that I get to go out with these guys, is that I need to fuel really, really, really well. I'm just going to eat the whole freaking time. I'm going with a race vest this time, not taking a pack, going with a race vest, right? So drink water. Steve's funny guy, man. All these guys are great and funny. Steve's funny. He's like moaning. He's like, oh, like every step he takes. He gets in the front seat of the Subaru, which I call the Subulance at this point, because I go, "Listen, I'm rolling the seat down. My calves are jacked up. They hurt. They're sore as hell." That was the biggest thing. And my shoulders started to bother because I was holding this heavy pack the whole time. And I fold the seat down on the driver's side, the back seat down on the driver's side, and I lay down like, "You want a pillow?" I'm like, "Dude, I don't even care. I'm just uncomfortable." So I end up sleeping for an hour. That's how mentally fatigued I was, and also sleep deprived I was for multiple days in a row. So I slept for the first hour in the back, let my body stretch out, and it was a 4-hour drive back from the North Rim around to the South Rim. So Brian, dude, you are a true hero. Thank you so much for doing that. Because had you not been there, and Steve as well, dude, thank you for being a support crew. But had you not been there, Brian, I would have probably had to sleep at the top of the canyon for a few hours, and I probably would have started making that trek back across another 20-plus miles. So it was 22 miles that we did, or at least my GPS read, in 6,200 feet of elevation gain on that North Rim, which is, to paint that picture in many of your heads, that's like 6-plus times up the Empire State Building to the top. So it was a lot. It was a lot. So it's great to go back, you know, and I really had to think this through, and I started to write a little bit as I was on a plane flight back, but it really made me go like, wow, you know, doing things in different climates is so different. Like training has to change. Like you've got to do things. And I think about David Goggins doing the Badwater 135 mile race, ultramarathon, through Death Valley in July, and he's talking about wearing, as he's training, wearing like three sweatshirts and going for runs with a rucksack on, like in the summer when it's 100 degrees outside. That's insane, but that's what you got to do, right? You got to think outside of the box to really train for things that are not in your wheelhouse and things that are not normal for your environment that you're currently training in. Should have thought of that. I didn't think of it. So be it. I learned. I didn't fail. I completed an R2, which is a challenging event in itself. So I feel great that I was able to do that, right? Pumped, absolutely pumped that I was able to do that. And so fast forward. So we finish, we high five, we get some pizza. I got to always do a veggie pizza after. And the pizza in Grand Canyon actually happened to be pretty decent. I'm a New Yorker, so I don't eat pizza regularly, but I know New York pizza is probably the best in the world. And then this was really not bad. The veggies were on it, were so fresh. So we got that and had a great night's sleep, packed up. We ended up leaving. We, you know, they went their way towards California. I had to make my way back towards Phoenix. And I decided to stop off in Sedona. Ended up picking up a few presents for a few people. And I'm like, I want to do a little hike. Even though my legs hurt, I'm like, I know I need to move. I'm going to be sitting in the car for hours. So I go to Sedona and do a 700-mile gain, if you will, or 700 miles, 750-foot or seven something like that, foot gain hike in a matter of like 0.6 miles. So it's pretty much uphill straight the whole time. You know, talk about hurting your calves even more. Maybe I didn't do them any good, but this is just my mentality. I had to push through this because I know the mentality I'm stronger than my weaknesses, my physical weaknesses. So this hike takes some epic photos. I think it's called Cathedral Rock in Sedona, like 1.2 or 1.4 mile round trip, something like that. Easy hike, or I shouldn't say easy, short hike, but it's straight up and then down again. So I got some epic photos, headed to my friend Todd and Monica. Thank you so much for putting me up for the night. Had some dinner, got to talk things. I haven't seen them in a long time. Went to chiropractic school with Monica and really great to see them. They fed me. Thank you for that as well. The food was amazing. And I got to see the whole family and wake up in the morning and jump back on a plane. And God, it was the world's worst flight back. Got on the plane, make this real short, but nonetheless, I was supposed to leave at 10 in the morning, get home at 6 p.m. We left almost at 6 p.m. and got home at 2:30 plus a.m. and it sucked. Nonetheless, so Delta, hope you guys fixed that. I know there was a problem with the plane and I know you're hopefully going to compensate me on this problem. But nonetheless, it was an epic journey. So thank you so much all for going on it with me these past weeks. And I'm going to take you on it again. I'll share some more pictures. So if you're on my social feeds, definitely check out some of the photos and the videos that we put up and some a reel that I put up. So I also get to go back to Standard Process again in November after supplementing for so long, and they're going to actually hook me up with another full battery of tests to see how well their supplements and my training work together health-wise. So far, everything came back from the lab amazing. My vitamin D, which I believe I mentioned on our last solo conversation, was a little low. And to me, that's surprising, but we found out that I believe it's muscle synthesis or muscle use consumes a lot of vitamin D. And in endurance sports, you use your muscles a lot. So I needed to up my vitamin D intake. And that's one of the many things I'm taking from Standard Process. And my cholesterol is a little bit high based on the numbers. And I'm really not too concerned with those numbers because I've seen over the course of the years, you know, 300 used to be normal. They had 200 used to be normal and they went to 180. I don't know where they are now in this big scheme of things, but we need cholesterol in every cell for flexibility for the health of our cells. So I'm not too concerned with that. Mine's been about around that every time I've had a blood test. So I'm not too worried. I don't eat tons of inflammatory foods, which are the big issues when it comes to cardiovascular issues. So let's stay connected, y'all. Make sure you do some crazy things in your life that are fun, that challenge you both mentally and physically. If you're up for an R2, I'm pumped for you, or an R3, I'm pumped for you. And the way I'm going to be training for this in April, one of the things I'm going to do, I'm headed out to, hopefully in the next month or so, headed out to do something that is insanely challenging. It's ranked number 5, the 5th hardest hike. Believe it or not, what I just did was ranked number 6, right? The R2. So this is number 5. It's called the Devil's Path in New York. I believe it's 24 miles. I'm looking to do this whole thing. either solo or with a friend, and we want to do it nonstop. So it's going to be an early morning to an evening, potentially almost 9,000 feet of gain, elevation change. So 8,900, 8,400, something like that. So this is going to be fun. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to obviously keep my running, keep my X3 bar, keep this thing cranking out. I want to be strong. I need to work on my endurance a little more. And what I'm going to do even better this time around, I'm going to really dial in my eating, really dial in pre-event and during the event. That's where I failed before. And I don't plan on failing this time. And I don't want to say fail, I learned. Right? I learned. There's no failing. There's only learning. It's failure if you admit it, it's failure. And I didn't fail. I did something really cool. Like these guys said, you did a thing. You did a thing. So thank you guys. Thank Monica, Todd. Thank you all for doing this. I want to thank my wife for letting me do crazy things like this. Meredith, I love you so much for letting me play. Do I like to play in my crazy world, in my crazy life. And what an amazing journey we're on. So appreciate you all. I'll talk to you all soon. Peace out. Oh, before I even do that, let me read one thing to you here. So many of you know that we're supporting a group called the Biohacking Congress. And the event's going on in Miami on October 16th and 17th. You can get 50% off tickets, right, to go into the actual event and even the live stream admissions. I have a code called Lifestyle Locker, and you can use that at biohackingcongress.com. It's going to be a life-changing experience on this weekend with 25 famous speakers on biohacking and 20 health companies, ecological products, digital health devices, and solutions for your health optimization. So I'm going to be there virtually to check it out. I'm pumped. I think it's really exciting. And I'll have another way to give you, if there's any left, 100 free tickets I have for the virtual, so for the live stream. And I'll have the link in the show notes for you. Now, peace out. Have an awesome day, evening, or night from wherever and whenever you're listening to this. All right, y'all. Bye-bye.